Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, we are glad to have J.J. Washington back with us. J.J., thank you for sticking around.
My pleasure.
A couple of weeks ago, he came in and we did a great podcast on his revitalization replant work at Estelle here in Georgia. JJ is the director of personal evangelism for the North American Mission Board. And if there's one thing a pastor needs to be, is a evangelist.
That's that right. Right? That's right.
I mean, I go to dying churches and these pastors say, we haven't even been baptized in 5 years. I'm thinking, Pastor, you've got the gospel.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what you do here and the tools you have for pastors and lay people to help them with evangelism.
Well, the latest that we've developed is what we call the NEM Evangelism Kit.
Okay.
And it's a little different because a lot of times when it first went out, a lot of folks thought it was, man, is this, Three Circles 2.0 or something now? Or is this Who's Your Two?
Who's Your Two?
I thought it was a new emphasis or campaign or how to share the gospel tool. But we went a completely different direction, Mark. What we tried to do is we were thinking, we saw pastors needing help with how to build a culture of evangelism, a process. So we went process. Here's some actions that you can begin to implement to build a culture of evangelism. And by God's grace, you begin to see the culture change over time.
Okay.
So that's what we're really leaning into.
Okay. Well, why do we need a culture of evangelism? What would that look like if you didn't have one?
Well, it would look like a church that's dying.
Okay.
I tell people a lot of times, especially in a replant revitalization situation, evangelism has left the room.
Mm.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And as you come in as leader, you're trying to get it back in the table. You're trying to get it back on the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about that. And so basically what we discovered was that there was a process that can help pastor. We looked at our experiences when we were pastoring. We also looked at what churches that are doing that are highly evangelistic. And that's kind of how we came up with it. And we basically came up with four E's. The first is really starting with an examination of where we are, first of all, personally, as leaders, examining our soul. We know that ministry can be hectic at times, hectic schedules, personal stress, family stress, et cetera. And so if over time our soul can get depleted, so we're not caring for our souls properly and we're drowning, we're not thinking about saving anybody else.
That's right.
So we talk about that piece on the front end, the examination. All right. And then we move into, now let's embrace our community. And in that phase, we're really trying to teach a pastor how to think like a missionary. Who's living here? What do they believe? What's their way of life? What are the barriers that are getting in the way to the gospel? What are some bridges that we can come up with, et cetera? So we try to walk through that with them and help them to really embrace their community. And then we move into the engage phases. That's really where you're out sharing the gospel. And so you're trying to build a prayer plan to help your people get praying for lost people. And you're praying for ourselves as witnesses.
Exactly.
And all those different types of things. And then the final is what we call the encourage phase. And that's really where we're trying to celebrate the practice of evangelism so that we're encouraging our people to be engaged in evangelism. Does that make sense? So salvations and, baptisms and sharing the gospel, whatever, those type of things in the life of the church.
Well, I want to unpack those here in a second, but one of the major shifts that have taken place, in a generational shift, is that there is no more low-hanging fruit available to small churches. In other words, what I mean by that is, you could have a church, could have a small neighborhood church, and for years there were people looking for a church, and they would find one close to them, and they would join that church.
Right.
We have such cultural headwinds against us right now, and the gospel is. People used to want their kids to be in Sunday school. They used to want. They feel like I need to be in a church.
Right.
A lot of times. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would call the low-hanging evangelical fruit, they're going to find a church that's large, that's growing, that has all kinds of ministries. If your church is struggling, doesn't have any children, doesn't have any youth, believers who are looking for a church are probably not going to join your church.
True. That's exactly
right.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say, and I'm struggling to say it, is if you're in a revitalization, the only way you're going to grow is through evangelism.
Yeah.
You're not growing through transfer growth.
That's
and
true.
Yet, reality is, buddy, most of their life, if you look at them, their main growth was transfer growth. It was never really evangelistic growth.
Exactly.
They might have had a period here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, when I was growing up, in the 70s, my dad pastored a normal-sized church, 200-300 people in a neighborhood in suburban Kansas City. And I was thinking the other day, I went down and wrote these wonderful people that the church grew to about 400 when my dad was there. And I began to write down the names of these people that were important in my life that joined the church while my dad was there. And every one of them were believers when they came. Wow. We were in Kansas City. A lot of them moved up from Arkansas to get jobs, mm-hmm. or they moved from North Missouri. They came to Kansas City to get a job.
Okay.
And then when they got a job, they bought a house or they rented a house, and they kind of came to the closest Baptist church, and that was ours, mm-hmm. and they joined.
Right.
And even though my dad's church would baptize, 15, 20 a year maybe, their real growth, and that included children, who were being baptized, mm-hmm. biological growth sort of, the main growth was transition growth from other people. Well, fast forward to the 2000s, that church is now down to about 40, mm-hmm. and I go to be their transitional pastor, and we're not getting that growth anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of large churches in town, and anybody that moves in looking for a church, they're gonna go to that. So this church had to realize if we exist, mm-hmm. it's only going to be by evangelism.
That's so true.
And they never really had a culture of that.
Right, right.
Their culture was, we just be the best church we can, have the best programs we can, be nice to people when they show up, mm-hmm. and they'll join.
And they'll join, yeah.
And when they join, they already tithe, they already teach, and our church just grows.
It just grows, yep.
That's not the case
true.
Anymore.
No, it's not, because you're right. Like in a replant, you can't compete with, necessarily the worship that other churches has. I mean, our worship.
What was your worship at Estelle?
We did all right. I mean, but right. It was certainly not like what, some of the other churches in the area.
Yeah.
You weren't coming because of any of that. You were coming because we met you in the community.
There you go.
We built a relationship with you,
and
there was a connection through that, you know what I mean? But outside of that, if you would have came to my church and went to somebody else's church, you wouldn't have chose us.
Okay, so I'm a pastor, and I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, my church does not have a culture of evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't baptized anybody
in
a couple of years, and I don't really have a culture of evangelism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you send them this thing, does it come in a truck? Or what's it? What do they get when they ask for it?
So it comes in a little box again.
And how do they ask for it?
And you can go on namevangelism.com and order it for free.
For free?
Yeah, it's free. Yeah,
all right, what's it look like?
Right. And it's just a little box.
We'll put it on the show notes.
Okay,
so perfect. We'll put it down there. You can just click a link and get to it. So tell us
perfect.
About what they get.
So you would order that, and it comes directly to your church. Inside of there, there's a USB drive with videos. It's also available online, because I realize that some devices don't even have USB ports any longer.
That's true.
So you can access it online, all of the content as well. There's an online course for this as well. But it has the kit guide in there, resource catalog. It has everything in there. And it literally, you just walk through the videos, and it's very much, watch this video, now do this action. Watch this video, now do this action. So it's kind of like that. And we also travel around the country, and we do trainings.
Okay.
We call them NAM Kid Evangelism Trainings. So you can go on our website, and you can see the cities that we're going to be coming to. Maybe we'll find one near you, and you can come to that. It's a 3-hour training, 2 hours of content, 1 hour of meal. We tell people, look, we can't guarantee you like the content, but we know you like the food. And so you won't be, it won't be a waste. And so we do those, and that's really our play. That's the play we're running.
Okay.
So anywhere we go, we're just training the kit. We're just training the kit and just trying to help pastors with a process that they can implement in their church to build that culture. By God's grace, over time.
Now, over time, what kind of time frame would a pastor want to consider that this might take? What kind of time commitment to have this culture change?
We tell pastors when they come to the training, because we don't want to overwhelm them. Like, mm-hmm. you got to do this in a month. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily realistic. There's 4 E's in it. Mm-hmm. So I tell them just take 1 month for each E. So 4 months to roll it out.
Okay.
All right. And then just work the play. And then the Holy Spirit controls the growth and the increase and all of that. But you're doing the necessary things to kind of create that situation. So really, you can probably see something. I mean, it's really a lot of what I did when I was at Austell. Tim did it when he was at First Baptist Eagles Landing. And so we've seen churches that are already beginning to share with us that they've seen some growth as a result already. They've seen some people now sharing the gospel and seeing people saved and seeing some baptisms come out of it.
So give me an idea of what a culture of evangelism looks like in a church.
People in the church sharing the gospel.
Okay.
That's really simple it is.
Okay.
As they go.
As they go.
I mean, it's not necessarily dependent upon, and these are all good, and I encourage these. You can do events, you can do service evangelism, you can, you know, of course, when you preach, invite people to respond to the gospel, doing all of those things. But what we're really focused on in this kid is how do I get my people sharing the gospel as they go every day?
All right. Well, listen, if you're listening to us and your church needs a culture of evangelism or needs to increase your culture of evangelism, there's no reason not to check this out. It's free. Take a look at it. Ask the Lord if this is something that you should do. It's worked in other churches. You know, one of the good things about the USB little device is a lot of churches, we do a lot with rural churches too, and they don't have good internet. So if you got any smart TV you buy at Walmart, it's got a USB, and you can just stick that in there and play them. I want guys to know that. Because sometimes they go, we can't really download videos out where we are. We don't have decent internet, but you've got that USB, you can stick that in there, so that'd be great. There's no reason, guys, not to click on this, have this sent to you, look it over, and then as my buddy here says, find some place relatively close to you where this is taking place in these events and go to them, right?
We'd love to have you.
We'd love to be with you. All right, man. Thank you, JJ. Any final thing you want to say to this wonderful group of...
I appreciate you, Mark. And I always say, when I went to Austell, I took two things with me. I had my Bible.
That's good.
And I had my book, Reclaiming Glory. And that was my next go-to resource. Oh, so I learned so much from that. So I appreciate you, brother.
Man, I love you, dude. I do. And thanks for taking time to be with us today. You guys you need to know who J.J. Washington is. He may be one of the best-kept secrets in Southern Baptist life. Loves Jesus, loves his family, loves the local church, has been a replanter, loves personal evangelism, knows how to work in multicultural environments. Man, you need to get to know J.J., so... check him out and pray for him and his family.
Please do.
For sure. What's your wife's name?
Tamara.
All right. Pray for Tamara and all your kids.
Yeah, I got two.
You got
Jairus and Jayla.
your granddad yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
All
got
right.
a high schooler and a middle schooler.
Okay,
so I got a ways to go.
I'm glad you're not.
I know I look older than I look right now, but that's because I served in a replant. You know?
I know. He went in the replant. He went in the replant with black hair. He came out with white hair.
Yeah.
Someone said it was like the president. You age during that term, man. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.